Good morning, everybody, and welcome. This is Lizzie and Justin, and we are again turning towards life today. So, Justin, I think turning towards life as a title is quite a thing because it seems to me like it's always applicable. And I think we made something quite clever because it doesn't go old or something. Whenever I say turning towards life, I think, yeah, that's what we're trying to do every day is bring ourselves towards things to include more and more and to become less averse or less defensive or less controlling about life and just to face it and to turn ourselves towards the things that are hard, that are mysterious, that are strange, that are wonderful, and keep on doing it again and again. And the fact that we keep on doing this again and again is very fitting for the title too. So I'm really grateful to be here. Really grateful for another source. Again, I'm sure I've said this 100 times before. There is a part of me that goes, we're going to run out of sources, and it hasn't happened yet. But I feel really grateful every time you post something, Justin, because more often than not, it's something that I've never seen before. And I'm so grateful of the kind of diversity of sources that we have for me, because I don't sit here and going, oh, yes, it's this one. It's like, oh no, what do I do with this? I'm going to have to mind heart bend myself into understanding and wondering and being curious. So I'm very grateful for that continual opening of myself that has to happen in order to be in the conversation. And thank you for always choosing excellent sources and knowing the kinds of sources to choose. I love it that we both have a sense of that. And we so far haven't found a source where we've both gone, this doesn't seem like one that we should be doing. So thank you and hello to everybody and welcome to this conversation as always, wherever you are. Maybe you're listening live, maybe you're listening on Instagram or Spotify, or you're on a dog walk and you've got it stored and downloaded in your phone somehow. We are really glad that you're here and that this is reaching so many people.
Thanks, Lizzie. I'm just smiling. I've got lots of things going on. So one is I'm smiling at the technical kerfuffles again, because this morning we are actually live in the right place. We're recording, we're transcribing for ourselves for later. I feel like a little bit of a juggler this morning, like with multiple balls in the air and any one of them, but they've all seemed to have come together, which is lovely. You know, what you were just saying about the name of this whole conversation, Turning Towards Life. It's really something to hear you say that, and it's been striking me recently. I'm with you that it's the right title because it's something that we never finish at. And it's one of the, I'm going to say peculiarities, that's not really the right word, is one of the defining characteristics of being a human is that there are all the ways that we turn away from life as it is. To protect ourselves or to protect other people, or because we got loyal to something from the generations that came before us, or maybe because of the culture that we live in and all the expectations that it makes, all the ways that we are in the richness and complexity of relationship with ourselves and with everything that's around us has us make this move of going to sleep to ourselves or leaving parts of ourselves out or taking up, getting ourselves dedicated to something that's very small, much smaller than we are. And so it is actually wonderful, even if we didn't do anything else, I think, to have a weekly reminder that there is a turn away that's very easy for us to do when we probably keep doing all the way through our lives. And there's also a turn towards that we can choose to do with some attention and maybe some effort and some courage, and when we find our own goodness and our own capacity and we get the right kind of support from other people, there's a turn towards our lives. And maybe in a way it's one of the most important projects that we what's the commitments we can get up to is seeing how inevitably, because we got born into a world that was full of other people for a start, and culture and everything, seeing how we had to turn away in lots of ways in order to belong, and that maybe it's our life's work to keep on turning back, so that by the time that we end our lives, we've actually found a way back to life, you know, and maybe that's exactly, in a way, what we're here to do is to figure out how to do that. So That's such a good reminder, Lizzie, of what this conversation is and why it's different to lots of other kinds of conversations it would be possible to be in. And this source for this week, this poem by Rilke, well, we'll get into it, won't we? But it seems to me that in big part what this is to do with the way we turn away from what is, the way that we what it might be to actually be in our lives as they actually are, as the starting place of turning towards everything. So this is called How Surely Gravity's Law. It's translated by Anita Barrows and Joanna Macy. And you can find it always in the notes, the show notes, and on our very lovely turningtowards.life website, where you can also sign up to get these by email every week, direct into your inbox, and you can find it in all the places that this conversation lands in the world. So, how surely gravity's law. How surely gravity's law, strong as an ocean current, takes a hold of even the strongest thing and pulls it towards the heart of the world. Each thing, each stone, blossom, child is held in place. Only we in our arrogance push out beyond what we belong to for some empty freedom. If we surrendered to Earth's intelligence, we could rise up rooted like trees. This is what the things can teach us: to fall, patiently to trust our heaviness. Even a bird has to do that before he can fly.
Thank you, Justin. How Surely Gravity's Law by Rainer Maria Rilke, translated by Anita Barrows and Joanna Macy. How surely gravity's law, strong as an ocean current, takes hold of even the strongest thing and pulls it towards the heart of the world. Each thing, each stone, blossom, child is held in place. Only we in our arrogance push out beyond what we belong to for some empty freedom. If we surrendered to Earth's intelligence, we could rise up rooted like trees. This is what the things can teach us: to fall patiently, to trust our heaviness. Even a bird has to do that before he can fly.
I love this poem, and actually, Lizzie, I noticed that in this version that I found, there's a couple of lines missing. One time we'll come back to the lines that this version takes out, but they're not important for now. Just wanted to acknowledge it. No, in one sense, the straightforward thing to say about this, it seems to me, is that where it starts is with recognizing that there are conditions of being us, and they simply are. You can't argue them. And one of them is gravity. Strong as an ocean current takes hold of even the strongest thing and pulls it towards the heart of the world. Everything. And actually, to me, there's enormous relief in acknowledging what is, which includes all kinds of things like what has been. Here I am, it's Sunday morning, it's 9:20, and before this moment, a whole life has happened, and it has actually happened. All the things that have happened, just like gravity's law. I got born, and people died, and the world turned in the way that it did. And at this moment, at this particular second of life, all of those things have happened. And it seems to me that where this amazing poem starts is in recognizing that it's a real mistake to get confused about that. There are other things to push out beyond, but we belong to, it's a wonderful language, we belong to gravity, And we belong to the earth, and we belong to our bodies as they are, and we belong to all the things that have happened, whether we welcome them or didn't welcome them, whether they were joyful or painful, whether they were liberating or traumatic or whatever they were. They've all everything that is. And maybe because we are imaginative beings, which is a great gift to be ones of imagination. But maybe because we're imaginative beings, we sometimes can imagine in very life-giving ways, but we can sometimes make this mistake that Rilke points us to, which is to imagine our way into some empty freedom. If only there were not gravity and I can spend my whole time, if only I were not the age I am, or in the body that I am, if only all of these things hadn't happened then. If only my life was a completely different fantasy life from the one that is opening to me at the next step where I am. If only, and sometimes those if onlys lead us productive places. And often, if we try to imagine ourselves out of what is, it's some empty freedom. We could spend our whole lives trying to be free of gravity and wishing for it and longing for it and fighting for it, and then find out that gravity still is there, taking hold of even the strongest thing and pulling it towards the heart of the world. So then it raises up a different question, which is, what comes if we can belong in, start off with our belonging in everything that is, including everything we don't like about what is, as well as everything we do like about what is. So that's where I'm beginning, and I'm feeling the, I think it feels really important to say in saying all of this, I don't mean acceptance of what is when it's unjust or cruel, or that's not at all what I mean. What I mean is the starting place for anything we make, any word we say, any gesture, any experiment we do, any always actually is. Starts with what is.
Well, this is such a great, great poem. I feel totally undone by it and what you're saying, Justin. And it's throwing me, as these things always do, into all kinds of wonderings and curiosities and landings and my goodness. I'm really appreciating, as you're saying, Justin, that there are things that can't be argued with. I think, like, probably anyone, I'm one of those people who tries to argue with what is and tries to make things different than they are somehow. And sometimes that's wonderful because those things can be made different, but many times I'm arguing with the thing that can't be made different because it's already happened, like you said, or it's just one of those laws of life like gravity. And I feel like this is an invitation to acceptance so that something arises out of that acceptance that is wise, that is doable, that is what we're made for, or something. So if I, as a bird, if I don't accept what weight I have to carry, I can't fly intelligently because I don't know what my weight is. So if I can surrender to earth and rise like something's rooted in me, I'm rising from somewhere that's going to nourish me rather than trying to fly away from it or escape from it or something. Like a tree is connected both downwards and upwards. And I feel like this word acceptance suddenly is appearing anew to me, like all these words keep doing, where acceptance isn't something like, oh, well, that's not really acceptance to me in this moment. To me, acceptance means I'm really willing to see what I am, what is here, what has gone before, what this makes me into now, what anything makes anything into right now. And out of that, something can get born. But I'm not trying to cut it off or deny it or pretend it's not there or something. I'm welcoming it so that out of that something can grow, which is really different to resignation, maybe. I wonder whether acceptance and resignation of, okay, this is how it is, there's nothing I can do. Those feels very different to me right now. And accepting something is welcoming something in all of its depth and allowing it to be just what it is, really. And then there's more to the conversation rather than, oh, well, that's it then. And I think that's what the beautiful invitation is here. It's almost like a wondering into what it means to actually be powerful in the world. And to be powerful in the world, I have to understand where I am, what I am, what is real and immovable now, so that I can then take something forward in the understanding of all of that, and I can build something that's actually got foundations in it. And then be really realistic and honest about what is something that could be done or not be done, something that can be moved or can't be moved, and knowing what's then mine to do or not to do. I think it's so easy to take up things that aren't possible to take up. Like, I think what we're talking about an empty freedom. Like, oh, I'm going to do this thing, and actually it was never doable in the first place. Or the other way around, well, I can't possibly do that, but it really was doable. So until we know and get what is true about something, we've really inquired and been in conversation and sought to understand it and be really straight with ourselves about it, we can't make those powerful moves anyway. So I'm really grateful for the reassurance in this and also the deep encouragement in it, that there are things to be done. There are things to be built out of this understanding and intelligence and welcoming and acceptance that then allow us to become these trees, these rooted. We could root, rise rooted, and that we're held whilst we do that. The roots are hanging on to that tree inherently. And that tree, as it becomes the size that it is, doing the job that it's doing, those roots respond accordingly. Like it's a simultaneous something that happens, that as it grows upwards, it grows downwards at the same time.
I've been thinking whilst you've been speaking, Lizzie, about where you started talking off. You started talking about inquiry, so we can find out what is the case. You know, sort of sift between what's our fantasy and what is the case, and respond from there. And I was also thinking about learning to tell the truth and everything that that entails. And the truth about what is and what's happened. And sometimes it struck me, sometimes we can be living a life of, any of us can be living this life of pretending that what is isn't, because we are imaginative. And that's, like Rilke says, that's an empty freedom. It's not the same as imagining what could be now, which I think is very important for us all to do. What could be made now from what's here? What could rise up rooted like trees? This project we get up to of denying or imagining what is isn't can take some courage, because sometimes the things that we have to face that are things that have been traumatic for us, that we couldn't face them because they happened to us when we were too small to take it all in, but now we're grown. So starting to think about sometimes really seeing that there's a law of gravity, for example, and the equivalent of that in our lives means finding whatever help we can get, finding a way to settle our own bodies, finding a way to find our adulthood so that we can say this happened and this happened and this happened and this happened, and we can acknowledge it. And that's part of some of those things are easier than others. I've been thinking a lot about age recently. I was reading piece by the musician and poet and artist Patti Smith when she turned 66, and she writes, basically she writes 66, how on earth, how on earth. And I feel that at 54, and we can feel it at 33, and we can, you know. So there's some things it really helps, it takes us some time to really let ourselves feel the truth of what has been and how we got to where we are and all of that. And then we have to deal with our own inner criticism, and there's all these things we have to, it really helps for us to face in order to be able to tell the truth. And often it also takes observing, you know, really watching ourselves. Oh, the truth is I avoid this, or the truth is I'm trying to get liked all the time. Oh, that's really good. So when we can observe, and that can take, because we can be so good at pretending to ourselves that something isn't the case. Just the simple act of watching, you know, how many times did I give up on my own opinion or longing or wish because I was trying to be liked by someone else is a great example of, oh, seeing something that's true and then saying what's true. I'm Justin, I'm 54 years old, this is what's happened. The practice of naming truth is really helpful. So there's a great practices, I think, to take up. Loving, tender support for ourselves and where we can get support from other people, looking at the true things and then observing and then saying. And I was thinking whilst you were speaking how incredibly paradoxical it is, because when we don't do this, if we've got very, very dedicated to living in what Rilke says, we push out beyond what we actually belong to, what's here, for some empty freedom. The paradox is that we tend to end up being tripped over by exactly the thing that we're avoiding. So I was thinking about actually in the language of this poem, if you wanted to learn to fly and you just pretended that there wasn't any gravity, you'd find yourself on the floor a lot, and you'd have to keep on telling yourself a story about why you were on the floor that didn't take gravity into account, and you'd never fly. You'd never get to fly, and only when you go, oh, there really is this force that pulls me down. I'm going to have to look at how to spread my wings in a different way. Then you might learn to fly, and that's like lots of things. So, for me, I think I brought up this example. For me, earlier in my life, the project of being liked and pleasing other people in order to belong, which was so costly, came from such a, in one way, good intention place, but was so costly, was an empty freedom. And one of the things that I've had to learn over decades is I am a person with my own opinions and my own feelings and my own wishes, and I come from this long line of people who also had that. It's true that I feel this way. It's true that I think this. It's true that I, and only when I could start to see that there was a truth about a way that another kind of truth about a way that I'd got committed to an empty freedom of belonging by diminishing myself and agreeing with everybody all the time. Could I start to grow the roots in the world where I actually belong, which is the world that we all belong to, which is the world where we are both the same as one another and different. We have different perspectives and they can be brought in service of something else. Only then is it possible to really grow roots. And so, where am I going with this? There's a sort of telling the truth about the world, and then there's also the finding out what we've been up to part, all the ways that we've set out for an empty freedom rather than the more true things that we could belong to.
Just wondering, Justin, about a version of that. There's probably 100 versions, isn't there? But one that comes to mind now in my life for that is about freedom itself. Like me pushing for freedom is very different to accepting the freedom I have right in this life that I'm in right now. So many years of seeking that freedom only to find out that when I got to the place that I should have been free in, I was the same not free as I was before I left home. And how confounding and annoying and confronting that is, that what I was seeking for had some truth in it. Like I want to be, and I value my sense of freedom as me. And yet I was barking up the wrong tree by looking for my freedom in different places or different people or different circumstances. And I remember I went traveling once for a long time, and I thought, I'm going to just come back just a different person. This is going to just change me. And of course, it didn't. And I was so disappointed with myself that I didn't come back as like a different person. And all of those occasions of disappointment and disillusionment and whatever have led to this kind of conversation with myself of, well, what is actually real? What is actually true? And one truth I think I found for myself is that my freedom, my sense of freedom, doesn't come from a change in my circumstances. It comes from a change in how I'm relating to life wherever I am. And that's a very different answer than I had before. And so I'm also intrigued by this word arrogance as well. And I think I've said before, I'm not quite sure, really, every time I say the word arrogance, what it really means. But I have a sense that it means like something to do with being delusional about myself, like something that's beyond me that I can't accept that is beyond me. So when I think, oh, if I go somewhere else, I'm going to be free, that is something that isn't aligned with the nature of gravity. It's something I made up. It's not actually true that that happens. And I've had to prove that to myself. I've had to actually get concrete life experience that tells me that if I go somewhere, I'm not going to feel freer than me being where I am right now. And so I have had a lot of that arrogance, if that's what we're going to call it, to think that I could do something, have something happen that really wasn't in my power to have happen. And then there are things that are in my power to have happen, which is to relate differently to right now and where I am and who I'm with. And out of that comes a different sense of my freedom. But it's found in a very different way than my arrogance would have had me believe, which is that I'm powerful to change my reality by changing my circumstances and making everything fine. That didn't crack up to be that, you know, and it's quite something to be forged by all of that, as I'm reflecting now, to see all of the times that my plan, my arrogance to push me out, to push beyond what I belong to, it didn't bring me what I thought it was going to bring me. And so I had to look somewhere different. And then finding that this gravity, this law that's as strong as an ocean current has taken hold of me like it takes hold of everyone else. And just being welcoming of that and saying, okay, I have limitations. What are they? And I can do some things and I can't do others. And it's funny because I feel like even as I say that, there's a kind of bit of a taboo about saying I'm limited and that we should have it all and we should be everything. But it feels to me like that isn't true. Like I can do some things and I can't do other things. Like I can't change my life by going and finding 100 million things to do and feeling like I'm going to find my, like that hasn't worked. So that's a limitation. And it's a limitation that brings freedom because I can be where I am and see what work there is to do in me here to be where I am fully. And the kind of freedom that gets brought from that because of a limitation is really quite excellent by comparison to wherever I go, there I am, and who I am is really not able to be free.
The extraordinary thing about what you just said, it's such a good example of coming to terms with gravity, because your version and my version that we've each spoken about are both versions of imagining that the resolution to some longing or belonging that's important to us will come about because we can muster superpowers to change the whole world around us. And there are, I want to keep on saying, of course, there are things we can change. Like your freedom, Lizzie, can be brought about by changes in the law that make it more equal for people to have access to things and more, there's all kinds of things that can happen around. Absolutely. But what I can so strongly feel in what you're saying is, unless we're willing to really look at what's true, there's a limit to what I can change. There's a limit to the material freedom I can have. There's all kinds of things you're not free to do, regardless of what you imagine, because of where you are in the world right now. And then to start to see that there's a part of it in each of us that we can take care of. So if I do live my life claiming that I'm really on this mission to fly, and when I fly and I'm free of gravity, my whole life will be better, and I keep on finding myself pulled back with a bump to the ground because I won't even look at the fact that there's gravity. I can expect just to be caught and caught and caught and caught and caught and caught. But the moment I start to say, okay, so there's gravity, so what's my relationship to it? What's my relationship to gravity? It starts to call into question a lot of this arrogance that you're talking about, which might be a sense that I am or ought to be more powerful than I am. Maybe that is exactly what arrogance means. And maybe what Rilke means by arrogance is all the ways that we just deny what's real and what's true. So there's gravity. So I can't just lift off into the atmosphere. As long as I dedicate my life to floating around in the atmosphere, that's it, I'm stuffed, really. But just like this beautiful line, if we surrender to Earth's intelligence, we could rise up rooted like trees. There are a ton of other possibilities. Could get my feet on the ground. Could really find what it is to have gravity serve. And then it's still possible to rise into life. And it's not going to be flying, because that's not what humans do. And maybe our bids, all the different kind of freedoms we want to take up, they get thwarted because we won't find out how to get our feet on the actual ground of our lives. And they get deeply supported when we will get our feet. We find out that it's a different kind of freedom than the one that we're sold on the adverts or on our social media feeds or whatever, which many, many of those that we get hooked into are versions of defying gravity's law. They're fantasy freedoms, or the one where you imagine that you're going to travel the world, or the one where I imagine I'm going to find freedom by just agreeing with everybody all the time, and that's the way I'll get to have my own life, except, of course, that's just a way of giving up my own life. It's the same thing. You have to find a way to start from somewhere else, which is, for another conversation, another time, I'm sure. Starts with our bodies as well. It's like, I am here. My body is here. This body has lived this life, and this is where I am, surrounded by this circumstance and these people. Now, what from the ground of that?
Yeah, it's really beautiful that you're saying, Justin, and I'm so glad that there is a way of talking about this that is an invitation to being with our lives just as they are and seeing what can get born from there. It's so easy to think everything is somewhere else and this is all not how it's supposed to be or something. And really taken by this invitation to wondering about freedom and the kind of being free where I am and learning that really wonderful things can come from that. So I'm really grateful for the conversation and thank you, Justin, for bringing this source.
Yeah, well, Lizzie, thank you. It is definitely time for us to stop. So thank you everyone for being with us for another week, and we're very glad that you're here. If you want to be in contact with us, you can, Lizzie or Justin or hello at turningtowards.life. You can email us. You're very welcome to tell people who you care about these conversations. Send them a link to the podcast or our website. And that's it for this week, and we'll be back next week. Bye everyone.
Everyone.